is that we might be one, and we're emphasizing that throughout the year. And today I want to talk to you about being one, being together, and the challenge of what I would call evangelism, being one in evangelism. Take your Bibles, if you will, please, and turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, and we're going to go to the 5th chapter division, and we'll begin in verse 17, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, and we'll read three verses there through verse 19. As we talk about New Testament evangelism and what that really is and what God intends for us to do about it as born-again believers. 2 Corinthians 5, beginning with verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. How many of you believe that's amen? Things should change, shouldn't they? Old things are passed away. There's something wrong with some kind of salvation that doesn't change a person. If they can go on living the way they did before they prayed the prayer, whatever, then there's something wrong with that. But all things, new old things are passed away. All things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. We are reconciled. We're brought into right relationship, and that with God the Father by Jesus Christ. Now notice this. We have been reconciled and hath given to us. To whom? To those of us who have been reconciled. To those of us that have been saved. And I would think that's most everybody here in this auditorium today. There are some that are not, but no doubt. But he's saying all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That's to all of us. Everybody in this building saved has been given this ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Thank God for that. Amen. And hath committed, he hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. He has reconciled us to the Father, and he has given us the responsibility of reconciling others, bringing others to Jesus Christ. New Testament evangelism. Now, when we think of an evangelist, who do you think of? Well, probably a lot of us would say Billy Graham. He's probably the most well-known evangelist that has lived in our lifetime. And we'd say, well, he's an evangelist. Or some might say Dr. Tom Farrell. Some might say Joe Arthur, who is a pastor evangelist. Spends more time on the road than he does at his church sometimes. But evangelist, we think of a person who goes out and preaches the gospel and does revival campaigns and that type thing. And when we think of evangelism, what are we thinking about? Well, it does include the preaching of the gospel. But evangelism, reconciling people to Christ. Evangelism is a zealous effort to spread the gospel. A zealous effort to spread the gospel. Can you say today that you have a zealous, almost uncontrollable desire to spread the gospel, to give the gospel? That's what evangelism is, spreading the gospel, preaching the gospel. So to evangelize somebody means that we bring them to a conversion experience and they are converted to Christianity. They get saved. They are converted to Christianity. So we are involved in this business of reconciling people to Christ, of evangelizing, of preaching the gospel, of getting the gospel out, converting people to Christianity. Now, how are we going to do that? Well, one way to do it is to give out tracts. And I hope you keep tracts with you. I keep some. Try to keep them in my pocket all the time. In my shirt pocket if I don't have the suit on. And ladies, in your purses. You have a little of everything else in there. You could add a track to it. So you can find a space and put that in there too. And tracks are one way that we can use to get the gospel out. We can invite people to church. Some of you have invited people to come to church today. And that's part of evangelism. I can preach and tell them how to be saved, and some of them will be saved. And that's part of it, and thank God for that. And another aspect of it is something called lifestyle evangelism. What is that? Well, that's not the best thing, and that's not the only thing, but lifestyle is you live your life in such a way in front of other people that they look at your life and say, I don't know what they have, but I want that. They have a happy marriage. They have the blessings of God. They have joy in their heart. They seem to have peace in their soul. They don't seem to blow up and get all bent out of shape when they go through trials. Lifestyle evangelism. And your evangelistic efforts are not going to be much better than the life you live. If you don't live the right kind of Christian life, you're not going to have much impact on people who are watching you, and you're trying to win them to the Lord Jesus Christ. It just doesn't work that way. But one way we can do it is just decide, I'm going to be a witness. Or we say it, I'm going to be a soul winner. You do know the Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. The liberals say that means he that wins friends is wise. Well, the better interpretation of that is he that brings people to Christ, gets them saved, those people are wise. Wouldn't you like to be a little wiser than you are right now? One way to do it is to become a soul winner. And I know all the excuses. I'm not educated. I don't know how. And I'm afraid, and I might offend somebody, and on and on and on ad infinitum. We have all kinds of excuses we can come up with as to why we're not soul winners. But let me give you very quickly seven habits of a person who is an effective or a fruitful soul winner. A fruitful soul winner. Number one, pray for a burden. Pray for a burden. When you get up of a day, or whenever your day starts, when you get up, pray somewhere along the way in your personal devotions, ask God to give you a burden for the lost every day. Every morning I say, God, break my heart afresh and anew for lost people. I need a brokenness for them. And then if we'll do that, we need to see through His eyes, and we need to see with compassion. We had a great message on compassion Wednesday night. To be like Christ and to be compassionate. And that's what we need to do, is be like Christ and have a burden for lost souls. I'm glad He had a burden for lost souls. I'm glad He left heaven and came to earth to prove that that burden was real, because He died on the cross for us. Pray for a burden. Do you pray daily that God would break your heart afresh and anew for lost souls and give you a burden? And I can tell you the truth is, many of you never even think of it, let alone pray it every day. We need to pray it. We need to have a brokenness in our hearts for those that are unsaved. Secondly, as I mentioned earlier, carry gospel tracts. We have track racks everywhere in our lobby. And you can just grab all you want to. They don't cost much. And if you give a bunch of them away and they throw them away and one person gets saved, it's worth all of it. Amen? I mean, we're not worried about that. We need to be getting the gospel out. So give out tracts and tell people about Jesus Christ. If you carry tracts around with you, it'll make you more soul conscious. You say, what am I doing with it? Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm supposed to witness. What are these in my purse for at the restaurant when you get through or wherever I'm supposed to witness? And give out a track. It opens the door. It opens up conversation. And that can be done, and we need to do that. Yesterday, when I was eating, I mentioned this, I think, in my Sunday school class, but when I was eating, after I got through, the waitress came over, and I just handed her a track, started off, and I said, I want to invite you to my church. And I said, I'm the pastor of this church, and I, I showed her on there where it was, and I said, "You know where Campus Drive is?" And she said, "Oh yeah, I know where it is." And this was at Luby's right down the road, so she knew right where it was. Told me that she lived in this area. And so I finally asked her, I said, "By the way, do you know if you died, you'd go to heaven? Do you know that for sure?" She smiled real big, and she said, "Oh, yes, I think I'd go to heaven." I said, "Well, if you're standing before God, and he said, why should I let you come in, what do you think you'd tell him?" And she smiled real big, and she said, "I've been good?" Almost like a question mark. I said, "That's the wrong answer. And here's the right answer." And, of course, she had responsibilities, and I couldn't infringe on a lot of that time. But I said, "Take this, and right in it, it tells you," and I went through the plan of salvation very quickly, "that you're a sinner, Christ paid for your sin, and he died on the cross, and that sin has to be paid for. And if you'll trust Christ as your Savior, you can be saved. And would you take this and read it, and would you pray, 'Dear God, if that man's right, and if he's telling the truth, and these scriptures are right, would you show me?'" And she said, "I will." I said, "You promise you'll do that?" She said, "I promise I'll do that." Now, I don't know what the outcome will be. We'll leave that in the hands of God. But I'm just saying that we need to carry gospel tracts and be used to giving them out to people and telling them, opening the door so you can tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. A third thing for an effective soul winner is to schedule time for soul winning. Find a time for soul winning. And you do know you can't win souls unless it's Saturday morning between 10 and 12 o'clock. That's our official time for people coming on soul winning visitation at our church. No, soul winning is all the time. And so we have to understand that. But we still need to have a time where we own purpose. And I'm telling you this, a lot of Christians are nowhere close to it, where we own purpose tell people about Jesus Christ. And I know you can do it all day long, but it's a good thing if you want to be an effective, fruitful soul winner to set aside a time when you go out with somebody, a partner, that you go out and try to witness. You can go house to house. We can give you, we'll talk to you later about prospects and how to get those and how to go out with somebody. And we'll be dealing with that, especially at the end of the service. But I'm just saying to you, you need to be able to do that and let your schedule be include that. You see, your schedule, listen now, your schedule reflects your priorities. Amen? My schedule reflects my priorities. And I lay it out every day and give it a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and I get the most important first, and what's left over, I start on the next day. But it should be a priority in your life to win souls and to show God and yourself that you really, really, really are not kidding about caring about people dying and going to hell. And then fourthly, keep an updated prospect list. Keep an updated prospect list. I have a list of people that I'm praying for that they'll get saved. Every now and then I get to check that off and put an amen to the right or praise the Lord. We need a list. List down the people that you know. You have neighbors, you have brothers, you have sisters, you have cousins, you have aunts, you have uncles, you have parents, you have co-workers. I mean, make you a list and keep it updated, a list of updated prospects, and collect those names and addresses of those people. Show an interest in those people. Get them to visit the church if you can, and then work on trying to get the gospel to them. Pray for them. Have them on your list. Another thing we can do is be attentive in church services. And let me really mention that one strongly. Be attentive in church services. Recognize if God you can sort of tell if God's speaking to some people. And especially during the invitation. Sort of look around. You don't always have to have your head bowed in invitation. You can look around, and if you see somebody that seems like God's dealing with them, you want to be very careful how you approach it. You want to be very careful what you say, and you don't want to try to force them down the aisle But just make note of it in your mind and recognize, I believe God's dealing with them, or maybe that they didn't raise their hand. I know some of you Baptists peek when I say all heads are bowed, but that's all right because it's probably because you're interested. But when they raise their hand, or if you don't know them and they're going out of the building, we say, well, there's a visitor. Sometimes we don't even speak to them. But here's another good thing we could do with them. Don't let them leave the church without talking to them and find out if they're saved. Ask them. I talked to a young lady recently. It was visiting with one of our young ladies, and I got acquainted with her, made it a point to talk to her after the service. And when I got through, I said, asked her about her church background, and I said, by the way, are you saved? Do you know if you died, you're going to heaven? Boy, it just sort of took her back, and she said, well, no, I don't. And so we had a little conversation about that. There are a lot of people who come in here who don't walk the aisles that if you notice that they need some help and you walk up to them very kindly, very lovingly, in a friendly fashion, and then just ask them, by the way, are you a Christian? Have you ever come to the place that you know you're going to heaven? And ask them a question like that, and sometimes they'll say no. And a lot of times they're already, God's already dealing with them. And then you can say, well, wouldn't you like to know that? And they'll say, yes, I would like to know that. There have been people that have come after the service in the auditorium, sat down with them, and led them to Christ. And that'll work. So just be attentive in church services. And I want to emphasize, be very careful how you approach it. You don't want to walk up to them and say, I guess you're going to hell, aren't you? You don't know you say. I mean, you don't want to do that. There's a way to ask it and just say, have you come to the place and you know that you're saved? Are you a Christian? Do you know you're going to heaven? And if they're a Christian, they'll be glad to share that testimony. If not, you may win them to Christ. And if you ask for permission, they say, no, that's all right. They go on, and at least you've done the best you could. And then, sixthly, demonstrate hospitality with people. Love people. Love people. One pastor said, if it wasn't for people, I'd enjoy pastoring. Pity him. Pity him. I thank God for people, don't you? People need the Lord. There are people all around us. Develop relationships with them. Build a relationship. Why? That builds an open door to tell them about Christ. And I've told you these stories before, but I love them. I want to tell them again. But I remember trying to win a guy to the Lord, and he had run. Every time I'd go to their house, he'd go upstairs. They lived out on the big old farmhouse. And I said, Treble, where is your husband? Where did he go? He's upstairs, preacher. He's not going to come down as long as you're here. I said, okay, I understand. And I kept noticing he had the coon dogs out there. And they would bark and yelp when I'd drive up and all that. And finally it dawned on me, and I said, Your husband sells those, doesn't he? Yes, he does. I said, well, does he go coon hunting? I'm sure he does. She said, oh, yeah, he loves to go. I said, I've never been. Ask him if he'll take me. Well, you know how a coon hunter is to a rookie. He wants that because he wants to walk you to death the first night. That's the whole purpose of his madness. And so, sure enough, she talked to him, and he said, yeah, I'll take him out. And we went out coon hunting. Make a long story a little bit longer. I kept working on him, and finally he got saved. And his whole family saved, and Papa saved, Daddy saved. What a great thing that is. I remember riding with old Big George Allen. He was captain on the police department. He worked on the night shift, and some of you know Big George. And George was the strongest man in our city, literally the strongest man. He'd go out to the country club, and they'd have arm wrestling matches, and they'd bet $10,000, $5,000, and that kind of thing. Only one man ever beat him, and when he showed him how he beat him, then George beat him after that. But at any rate, I'd ride around with him. I told his wife, I said, he plays golf. I said, oh, I need to play golf. I want to learn to play golf. Tell him I want to learn. And I did want to learn, and I didn't know beans about it. If I had known beans about it, I wouldn't have bought a yellow bag at a sale because those were women's golf clubs. And I went out the first day, and then George said, Reverend, we're going to have to do something about this. And they bought me another bag real quick. But at any rate, let's just do it, you know. But George, I'd ride with him at night. I'd say, hey, can I ride with you? And then he smoked cigars. Oh, man. In Indiana, in January and February, you don't ride around with the windows down. And he'd smoke and he'd blow that smoke out on me, and I'd cough a little bit. I told him after he got saved, I said, you almost killed me, man, before I thought I was going to have emphysema and cancer and everything else, COPD. But George got saved. You know, I just sort of made contact with him. Got to be friends with him, and relationships developed, and thank God they got saved. And God did the saving. I didn't, but I don't believe that might have happened if I hadn't developed a relationship. Demonstrate hospitality. And then, number seven, if you want to be an effective soul winner, one that produces results, involve new converts in soul winning. That means take them with you and teach them. Involve them in how to witness to others. Encourage people who are new converts to go out and reach their friends and their family. We have some folks right here today that recently got saved. Since then, Mama has gotten saved and friends have gotten saved because he contacted Brother Volante, and we went by one time, and Brother Volante's worked with him, and others have done this, and those people came to Jesus Christ because the new convert was taught, you need to care about your family. If you get saved, don't be satisfied with just you being saved. Get somebody else saved. Help them come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we come to something that we're going to introduce to our church called warm contact evangelism. Warm contact evangelism. What is that, preacher? Well, you know what warm is. You know what hot is. You know what cold is. And if it's too hot, then that's not necessarily so good. And if it's cold, that's not necessarily so good. But if it's warm in relationship, to get to know somebody and earn the right to witness to them, that's good. And so we need warm contact relationships and evangelism. I used to be in sales work for a while, and I sold two-way commercial radios, frequency modulated. They were the kind like the fire department, police department, and big businesses and all had. Some places had what they call a dial page system, something as big as General Motors, for instance, and you could put a system in there, all of that. But I tell you, sales work is pretty tough when you're just going cold turkey. You're just going out there and you just start making calls on businesses. But man, we'd send out some mailers sometimes and I'd get some prospects. And those are the ones I couldn't wait to get to because they were interested. There had already been some way to be interested, and I could go in and tell the secretary or somebody that Mr. Jones wanted to talk to me, and I'm here to see him and all of that, and get in and go see him and maybe sell him a whole system, a base and four or five units or whatever it might be. I'm just simply saying it's better to have some relationship or somebody who knows somebody that will bridge that particular bridge over that not knowing who they are and not being able to talk to them. And when somebody loves them and knows them, it just takes the edge off of it. And we need warm contact evangelism, and that's something that is important to us. It needs to be warm. There needs to be somebody who cares, somebody who's praying, somebody who knows about it. And you get with a soul winner who is trained to do that, and they go with you to that person, and while they're going to that person, contacting that person that you want to see saved, then you learn in the process. And you may not be confident right now that you can go out and do that. Many of us could do a better job than we do, no matter what we know about it. We just know we got saved, and we can tell them that. But if you can give the contact to someone, and then that soul winner takes the card, and we're going to have these cards just like this, warm contact card, and you can take that and turn it in, and the soul winner will get with you, and y'all can go see that person, and the soul winner will show you how to win souls, and you'll get your burden satisfied to a degree as you go and do that. And I can tell you that soul winning, and you've heard it before, It is better caught than it is taught. So it gives you an opportunity to go with someone, to somebody you're burdened for, somebody you love, somebody you care about, and you watch how they do it and see them, and they will. They won't win them all to the Lord, but they'll win some to Jesus Christ. It will happen. We already have a team in place to start doing that, and they already have been trained as soul winners, and you can go with them. Get under the burden. You're an evangelist. Evangelism is our calling. We're to get out and do it as good soldiers of the cross, as we've had in our Sunday school lesson. And so it's evangelism. What's that? Go back to it. Spreading the gospel. Giving out the good news. Hey, you don't have to die and go to hell and be separated from God forever and ever. You can go to heaven and have all of your sins forgiven. That's good news, isn't it? We can share that good news, the gospel, evangelism. What is the gospel? It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That he died for you, paid for your sins. If you're here today without Christ, that's what the gospel is. You're a sinner. You're not perfect. And I was talking to someone else this week, and I said, you understand you're a sinner? I said, you understand? That's no problem for you to understand, is it? And she said, absolutely not. Or he said, No problem. I know I'm a sinner. And I said, none of us are perfect, are we? Absolutely not. You're a sinner. Your sin needs to be paid for. Thank God it has been paid for. Jesus paid it all on the cross of Calvary. And today, this very day, you can accept the gift of eternal life and receive him into your heart as your Savior. When I was 9 years old, that's exactly what I did on a Sunday night in a revival meeting at a little country church. I received Christ as my Savior, and I thank God for it, and I've had that gift of eternal life ever since. The gospel is not complicated. The gospel is not going through some form or some catechism or some tradition and all of that. The gospel is as simple as understanding, hey, I'm lost, and Jesus paid for my sins, and the only way that I can go to heaven is trust him as my Savior. And everybody in this building who claims to be saved would say that's the only way and that's how I got saved. Amen? If you're saved, you can say that. So, what are we saying today? Get saved. If you're here without Christ, that's what everything is about. That's what all of this is about. But it's right now, it's about you here today. We want you to come to Jesus Christ. You're not here by accident. And I'm telling you how to be saved, how to know you're going to heaven by trusting Christ. Then I want to call you to a commitment as children of God, as born-again believers, old people, middle-aged people, teenagers, young people, boys and girls that might be in this auditorium, to make witnessing and soul winning a priority in your life. Determine today in your heart, by God's grace, I'm going to do what God has called me to do. That's what our verses said right here, that we are people who are reconciling. We should be reconciling people to the Lord. He hath committed unto us, saved people, the word of reconciliation. He's committed it to you and to me, not just to the staff, not just to the pastor, not just to the deacons or the missionaries, but to you, ladies. Yes, ladies, to you, men, to you, teenagers. And to you, boys and girls, the ministry of reconciliation, bringing people face to face with Jesus Christ so they can be reconciled and go to heaven. And I'm going to encourage you to take some of these cards and prayerfully write down some of those names, and let's just see what God can do. And then you'll be able, with these warm contact evangelism cards, to do it. Here's another thing we need to keep in mind, and that is constant contact. Not just the warm contact, but constant contact. That is looking all the time, every day, no matter where you are, constantly ready to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. And we have all kinds of people out there like that. There are going to be months we're going to emphasize firemen. In months we're going to emphasize beauticians. In months we're going to emphasize doctors. In months, we're going to emphasize some other things, and the constant contact that we can reach them and have special tracts printed up just for those kind of people that'll be pertinent to them in a very unique way, that all of us would constantly be contacting people for the cause of Christ, but especially the warm contact. May God help us to get involved in our church, and we might be one in our effort to reach a lost and dying world. Nobody else is going to do it, folks, if we don't do it. And I pray you'd make a commitment to that today. If you're here without Christ, that you'd be saved. Let's stand, please. Every head is bowed. We'll have our invitation after our prayer. And I invite you to come and receive Christ, and to come and make a promise and a commitment to God. Let Him know how much you love Him, that you're going to do your very best to do this. Father, thank You for the privilege of being a soul winner. Thank You for the privilege of taking the good news and the gospel to people all around us who need it. The fields are white in the harvest, and we need to be good farmers, and we need to be good soldiers. We need to be faithful to warn, even as Ezekiel told the watchman to warn them. God, break our hearts. You're the only one that can do it. I can't break these people's hearts. But God, You can. Break our hearts for warm contact evangelism, for constant evangelism. Help us to win the lost. And if there's somebody here without Christ, and I'm sure there's someone like that here today, God, I pray that they would release and come and be saved. We pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you come as God speaks to your heart? Meet me down front.